Good evening. Good to see you again here tonight. Thank you for being here.
Great to see you.
I forgot to tell people that we did offer excuses for those who wanted to come from other congregations, you know. So I guess, Robert, they didn't pay attention, you know. But anyway, you're here, and that's what's important, and we're going to... We've had a wonderful song service already. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, said, do not be drunk with wine, where it is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing that Tom. Tom's already done a good job preaching tonight. Brother Ken did too. I appreciate what you did. It's just wonderful to have us. But I love songs that do a sermon within themselves. And there's so many good things. Like last night, we sang that song, and then I preached about that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I'm asking tonight to sing that song, Blessed Assurance. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is Blessed Assurance. I love for people to know that they have a home in heaven, that God's people are on their way home. I love for people to feel assured for such a long time. I was raised in an area where that I wasn't ever sure. I was always scared that somehow I wasn't going to make it. I was always afraid that I hadn't done enough, like my mom. You know, my mama was like that. Bless her heart, loved her to death, but she had that feeling, you know, just hadn't done enough, wasn't good enough, you know. And you know, I told you the other night I had that feeling too, and I showed you how coordinated I was when I tripped over that waterfall. You know, didn't see that thing laying in the floor, you know. But you know, I was raised that I always felt insecure. Brethren, and there are a lot of people that feel that way. They feel insecure. And one of the reasons is because that there are some people that believe once saved, always saved, and that's not in the Bible, you know. But the security of the believer is, and we haven't learned to accept that fact, because and that's what we do sometimes. We fight error so hard and so long that we swing the other way and we miss out on God's Word. But I want you to know tonight that I believe in the security of the believer. Romans 8:1, we discussed that the other night. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Jude 24 talks about the fact that we have this thing about security. All through this book, we have that idea of the security of the believer. And that simply means that we don't have seesaw religion, folks. And by seesaw religion, and that's what I was sort of raised up on, is that God gives you salvation, and then boom, the first time you thought something, and the first time you said something, and the first time you might have done something, God took that salvation away. You know, and you had to, you know, you hoped you didn't die before you had time to pray, because if you didn't have time to confess and pray before you died, you know, you're going to hell. And so you prayed, and then God gave you salvation back. Then the first thing you know, we thought something, or we said something, you know, and the Lord took it away again. Boy, you got to repent, you got to pray, you got to confess, you know. And it was this way all of my life. And we never were sure about where we were. That's why we were scared about what we're going to do, about where we were. But my friends, I want you to know that if you believe that song that you just sang, Blessed Assurance, it is that very thing with God. And tonight I want to help you to see that. But, you know, I want to, first of all, tell you that for those people who do that, we need to look at something beforehand. And that is, the fact is that, you know, we only have two nights, tonight and actually tomorrow night, this thing's going to end, you know, this meeting's going to end. And maybe some of you will be happy, I don't know. I'm not going to be happy, but anyway, but it's going to end. I wonder what would happen, though, if the doctor told you had 2 days, just 2 days, to live. What would you do? What would you think? be, you know, I don't know. I've always thought about that. And there are people that are told that all the time. This year, 500,000 people in America will die. A lot of them will die expecting to die because they've been told that you have 6 months to die, or to live. You have cancer, you know, or whatever. You have a bad heart. But a lot and lots of those people did not know that they had that. Break them up here. You're going to help me preach tonight. This boy's going to help. He's going to be a preacher, you know? He's going to be a preacher, and he's going to start out tonight helping me preach a little bit. We're going to talk about your life. How long is your life? All right? In fact, this young man right here, good guy, he's going to help you preach tonight. I want you to take the end of this room right here, okay? I want you to walk over there for that wall, okay? Just walk over there for that wall. We're going to measure this thing, okay? Okay. Come back in just a little bit, okay? Come back in just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Okay? Right there. All right. You see that blue right there? Well, the good book says that our life that we have before us, and we don't know how long we're going to live, but the good book says in Psalms 90 that perhaps we have 70 years, 70 years, that perhaps by 80 years we are going to live, you know. Now, let's stay in time. In spite of the fact that we have people that are living older, the other day, Brother Robert and Miss Jane took us out to the Blue and Black Cafe in Tunica, and we sat out there to eat. And lo and behold, my sister Pat, she was looking at a lady across that had just come in to eat. And they got to looking at each other, and Pat's from West Monroe, and lo and behold, this woman was from West Monroe. And they knew each other. And her father was an elder down in White's Ferry Road, Tommy Goins. Sister Goins is still living. She's 103 and reads the newspaper without her glasses. Can you imagine? Well, she's one of the lucky ones, you know. She's one of the blessed ones. Well, not lucky, I'm sorry, I don't like that word. She's one of the blessed. Now, everybody gets to be young, but not everybody gets to be old, right? Exactly. But we're not going to talk about those that are 103. You know, I have a good sister at Mount Ida that's 100. I have another good sister at Mount Ida that's 99, you know. And so the people over there, they live a long time too. But we don't talk about those people. You and I, maybe we are going to live to be 80. I won't give us 80 years, okay? So this ruler represents, every inch represents a year in your life, okay? Now, some folks, we don't take off a few because they grow up. Most of the people in this, there's a few youngsters, you know, they're gonna get a little bit less, okay? But I don't know how many years you got. But let's say that you're 50 years, you know, okay? Let's go down to 50 years. Where's 50 years on this thing? You know, can you find it? You're supposed to be heading pretty far. Is that him right there? All right, hold your finger right there. Okay, you're all right there. Okay, we're going to go back to 80 now, you know. The fact is that if you're 50 years old, that means you've already used up that much of your life, you know. But I want you to know that if you are 70 years of age, actually, I want you to know that you've only got about that much left. You ain't got that much. If you're 70 years of age, and we're giving you 80 years of age, you know, that's about how much time they got that thing, how much time they've had to break. They need to be looking at it, don't they? All right, thank you for helping me preach, all right? Go back to your seat. Folks, I want you to know that your life is coming down to the end. You know that? One of these days, that tape measure is going to come all the way. It's going to stop. There's not going to be any more time left, you know. So I wondered, how much time do you have left? 10? Do you have 20 years left? Do you have 30 years left? You know, I don't know. I don't know how much you got left. But the fact is that you don't have the 80 that you once had. You have so much less. Now I want you to know the wonderful thing about it, that it doesn't matter when you become a Christian. You The Lord gave a parable about those who he hired in the vineyard, that he, in the morning he hired them, and in the middle of the day he hired them, and at 11 o'clock he hired them, and when it came time to get their pay, they all got the same pay. And there were some who didn't like that, you know. There were some who said, you know, that's not right, because we've worked all day long, and you've given them the same, you've given these people that have only worked 1 hour, you've given them the same pay. Well, that don't make any difference with the Lord. He says, it's my vineyard, I can do what I want to. And didn't you agree? Didn't you agree when you hired all that you'd work for this amount of money, you know? He says, that's none of your business. And the wonderful thing to say is that people can become Christians even at the 11th hour. It doesn't matter when a person becomes a Christian. A lot of people say, well, I've waited too long. You've never waited too long. The only time that you've waited too long to become a Christian is if you wait till you die. Then you've waited too long. But we're here tonight, those of us who are Christians. I'm asking you, have you got 10 years left? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you 20. Okay? I hope the Lord gives you 20 years. I hope the Lord gives us 20 years. But what I'm going to ask you is, what have you done in all this other time here that you had to work for the Lord, to serve the Lord, to live for Him? What have you done with your life? Because you see, the Lord says in the judgment day, He's coming, and He's going to say to us, He's going to sort of divide the folks between those on the right and on the left, the sheep from the goats. And to those on the left, He's going to say, look, I want you to know you had an ample opportunity to do some wonderful things, but you know what? You didn't do it. I was sick and you didn't come to see me. I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was in prison and you didn't come to visit me. And they're going to say, Lord, when did we see you this way? In other words, Lord, it's not our fault. We just never did see you. And He said, look, folks, inasmuch as you did not do it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. Folks, there will be no excuses in the judgment day. That's why that if you've got 10 years or 20 years is all you've got left, you need to make the most of it. You've got to make the most of it. You've got 20 years, you don't want that thing at all, all of a sudden it just stops. And you've been saying, I'm going to get busy. You've been telling Robert, I'm going to start the church. Robert, I'm going to get busy in the kingdom. Robert, I'm going to start visiting folks. Robert, I'm going to do this, or somebody else you told that to. I don't know. Doesn't matter if you told him that. Because all the intentions of the world mean absolutely nothing if you never take advantage of them, the opportunities. So, I don't know how much time you got left. I don't know how much time you got left. We don't know. Jesus, what the Bible says, that our life is but a vapor that appears for a short time and then vanishes away. But having said all that, I want you to know that if you are a child of God, if you're a child of God, it don't really matter whether you've got 10 inches left, or 20 inches left, or 30 inches left, or 40 inches left, it don't matter. And it won't matter when this thing comes to an end, if you've got that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. That's what's important. I read to you the other night, from Isaiah chapter 43, where God said, thus says the Lord, that I have redeemed you and you are mine. I like that. I like it when God says, you belong to me. That's wonderful. And God reassures us about that, being children of God, that we belong to Him. But I want you to be able to say, Jesus is mine as well. God can claim you, but do you claim Him? Can you say that with all the assurance within your soul? We're supposed to love God with all of our being, our heart, our mind, everything about us. We're supposed to love Him with everything. Can you say that I have that assurance? I know where I'm going. First John chapter 5, verse 13, John wrote these words, "I've written these things that you may know that you have eternal life." You don't have to guess about it, folks. I was converted from that. I've been preaching a few years, and I went down to Jacksonville, Florida, where it was, knocking on doors. We did a campaign down there years ago. So Harvey Starling, y'all know Harvey Starling. Yeah. Old Harvey had a campaign going on down there. And I went down there to work with them, and I was knocking on doors, inviting people to come to church, to the gospel meeting, you know, to the revival, talking to them. And I knocked on this lady's door, and she invited me, and I said, "I sure would like to study the Bible with you." She said, "Oh, come on in, please. I'd like to study the Bible with you." She said, "I love to study the Bible." I said, "Okay, thank you. Let me come in." And so I've been studying with the Bible. And she said, "Mr. Hall, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yes, you can." She said, "If you die right now, would you go to heaven?" I said, "I hope so." "Oh, you hope so?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. I think. Oh, you think you would go to heaven?" I said, "Well, what about you, ma'am?" She said, "Oh, I know. I go to heaven." She said, "I don't understand this, though. You see, I know where I'm going, and you just hope that you're going there. And you're out here knocking on my door, so you're asking me to leave my state of security and come into your state of insecurity. Is that right?" I mean, it knocked me right between the eyes. And for the first time in my life, I was confronted with my own theology that was wrong. You see, and that's what I was doing. I was not knocking on people's door, but I was asking them to come into a state of insecurity because I did not have that. I did not believe in that blessed assurance. I had not been taught 1 John 5:13. I had not been taught that the Bible says you can know. You don't have to guess. You don't have to. And I realize that we all have hope. I talked about hope last night. And we talked about hope. And certainly it is. But based upon what the Bible says, John says, you can know that you have eternal life. You don't have to guess. Put a smile on your face. If you know that. Don't sit there like so glum. And you ought to get excited, folks. I'm here to tell you. One of these days, it's going to happen. I know somebody's going to shout hallelujah right in the middle of a sermon. One of these days. Somebody's going to say amen. You know, they're going to get so excited about the fact of what they've got, that blessed assurance. Now, I want you to know that by saying that I know where I'm going, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, because I'm not. Have you ever looked at that passage in Ephesians chapter 5 where it talks about the church is being washed by the water and is without spot and without wrinkle?